Today I wrap up my series of sermons working our way through Paul's letter to the Philippians, and actually today's scripture selection includes verses that someone in the church said they would like to hear a sermon about. And when I asked for topics or verses for sermons this summer, so I'm accomplishing two things at once this morning with this scripture. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things and keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. I have been paid in full and more than enough. I am fully satisfied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The friends who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of the emperor's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What we just heard is, as far as we know, the last letter written to a church by Paul while he was in prison. He wrote a letter to an individual after this, Titus, but this was his last letter written to a church. And last week, we looked at his words that were part of his advice about a disagreement in the church. When he said, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. And it's that nearness of the Lord that Paul continues to rest on and count on in this portion of the letter. He went on to share a lesson about how God's nearness applies to all situations with this wonderful teaching on prayer. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Helmut Thielicke, a German religious writer, said, there are limits to what we may say. There are no limits to what we may pray. And Paul knows this, and Paul says, whatever is on your heart, bring it to the Lord. Out of work, bring it to the Lord. Tired of the challenges of life, bring it to the Lord. Have a problem between some people at Philippi or in your own family, bring it to the Lord. And he ends this section with a great affirmation, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Older English translations use the word keep, as in will keep your hearts. But in Greek, the word actually is a word that means comes from a word meaning fortress. And Paul is saying the peace of God will fortress your hearts and your minds, will surround them with that sense of God's nearness and protection. Now, he doesn't promise that every prayer will be answered how and when we want, but we will feel God fortressing our hearts when we turn to God in prayer. And Paul loves rhetorical lists, and he has one last list here for the Philippians. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, there is any excellence, think upon these things. And the word think that he uses in Greek is actually the word from which we get logic and logical. He's saying compute these great truths and these good things and put them on your hard drive so they stay with you. And don't stop at remembering them. He goes on to say, do them. Do these things. Put them into practice. There were a couple things in this tail end of the letter as he tried to wrap it all up that he was concerned about. Putting into practice what you have learned about God. Don't just talk it. If you say that you've repented, well, then let that show, change your way of living. Live the way God would want you to. One way to ruin a marriage is to keep saying sorry without changing your behavior. It can actually be a codependency script. In effect, Paul's saying, don't keep apologizing for things. Do something about it. Don't say, I'm sorry every single day, but not change. Start with one single step. Make a move that repairs relationships between people and within a community. Paul then turns autobiographical and says, not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with what I have. This is somebody who's in jail, remember. The English we have as content is a translation of autonomous in Greek, a Greek word that they use for sanity, for the idea of holding yourself together through whatever happens. Paul says, I have learned to keep my sanity. I have learned to keep myself together in whatever state I find myself. And he says, you know, I can appreciate the gruel they give me here in prison. And, you know, I've liked the lobster dinners I've had too, but I can keep it together whatever situation I am in. And he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's not talking about Jesus helping him do anything he decides he wants to do in terms of accomplishments. And he's not saying that Christ will suddenly make him a wonderful sculptor if that's what he puts his mind to. The word we have in English Bibles as do has a meaning of I can take in stride. I can take in stride, Paul says, all things because of Christ who strengthens me. Paul's learned the secret of keeping it together. And he wants to share it with us. It's not a secret handshake that he has to give away, but I think he gives us six indicators of how he has found himself able to keep it together. It starts with something he knows. He knows that the Lord is nearby. He said that earlier. Jesus makes a difference for Paul. Second, Paul prays, and he invites all Christians to pray. In everything by prayer and supplication, take it to God. And the peace of God, which fortresses, will fortress your hearts and your minds. And Paul starts every one of his letters with a prayer, and he ends every letter with a blessing. Third, Paul focuses and gives us a pattern of Christian meditation. He doesn't say for meditation, empty your mind and stop there, as some meditation practices do. He goes, no, we start by putting thoughts to focus on in this Christian form of meditation. So Paul gave the Philippians that list of whatever's honorable, just, commendable. Focus on what is good and true in the midst of what is harsh and toxic. Whatever is true, think about these things. Next, he shows how God helps him and helps us handle advantages and disadvantages. He used his education, he developed friendships and contacts, and he could also learn to use disadvantages in ways. Because think about it. Would Paul have had time to write so many inspired letters if prison hadn't made him take a forced break from all his traveling? French thinker Blaise Pascal has written, "Do great things as though they were small because of Jesus Christ, and do small things as though they were great because of Jesus Christ." Jesus has a way of leveling things so that we can take things in stride. Fifth, Paul has friends and he cultivates them and does not let them go. And what a beautiful gift it is to have friends who are praying for you, who care for you, who are keeping track of you. And the Philippians were those kind of friends for Paul. And we can be those kinds of friends to one another. And finally, Paul finds ways to enjoy life. He starts and he ends a letter, or close to the beginning, ending, saying, "Rejoice in the Lord." For Paul, now is always the exciting time to be alive. Now is always the time to try and make a difference in the world, because now the Lord is nearby. Paul had delighted in prison because he had a chance to convert prison guards to the Christian faith. Rejoice always. Then Paul keeps gratitude before him, and he ends the letter basically with a simple thank you. "In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress." It's not that I seek any gift. I have been paid in full and more than enough. I am satisfied. Even in prison, he's able to say thank you. He's able to be content with the circumstances because he has received, those gifts of friendship. And he doesn't fish for them to send him anymore. He goes, "Don't worry, I've had enough." It's not where you make a donation and they send you a thank you note with a return envelope for your next one. No, that's not what Paul does. "Thank you for the encouraging notes and words," he said. And he doesn't criticize anything. And he doesn't say, "By the way, you misspelled 10 words. Thanks for sending Epaphroditus." He truly meant that. He knew Epaphroditus had to go back to Philippi because he'd been sick. And Paul doesn't say, "Thank you, but next time can you send someone with better health?" Just a clean, straight thank you. No strings attached. Keeps gratitude alive in our hearts. And then his final blessing. "And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." That is the faith that Paul shares. That is a faith that Paul knows can be contagious if we but open our hearts. Amen.